Okay, thank you for having me. I will introduce myself a little bit later. Can you play a video?
It's really hard.
Sorry, I think the sound is coming from here. Hold a second. I'll try to work out the technology. The sound is from my... Sorry about it. Let's do this again. I hope it works now. I can't see it. Sorry.
It's really hard to become a guide dog. It takes a very special, confident dog to be able to do this job.
There's three boys and three girls. Pacino, Tulane, Paco, Amara, Rafi, and Tartan.
I thought she is going to be so easy to raise.
Pacino is really fun, really playful.
As you can tell, Paco is a teenager.
Everything about them looks perfect for the job, but then you actually ask them to do it, and it's too much pressure. And then you start seeing behaviors that you never saw while you were raising them.
I'm a little bit at a loss with Pacino right now. He's definitely not ready to progress.
Not all dogs are suited to be a guide dog.
What do you think about Paco? Do you think he might get to the next phase?
The other kids are so...
Hopefully, she'll be successful and she'll make a great guide dog.
Today, he's going to his final evaluation.
If she does well, she can really change someone's life, and that's what I want.
It's a lot of work, but I know that she's gonna make it. I know that.
Okay. So, yes, today we're going to talk about dogs. So, not any dogs, but service dogs, guide dogs. And this is just a picture. So, my daughter did this. I was going to ask you, where can you get a guide dog? Maybe from Whole Foods? since we're already here, you can see my wife, Lily, and this is Russell. Can you bring Russell to here? Let's try. So he is a guide dog puppy. You know, we are proud of it. Let's see. And he was born March 11th or March 10th. So that means he is now 3 months and a half. So he's still little, but he can already do a lot of stuff. I don't know if you have raised dogs before. At 3 months is, what can you expect, okay? Russell? Down. Good job, yes. So, see, I give him a command to down, and all the time it's tough, easy to do, and I think it's enough. Yeah. I don't want to broken my computer. Okay. Thank you. So, thank you. And, I was thinking of having him here, but I also worried because at this age, it's really hard for a dog to settle. And that's the most difficult thing when they're in the environment, a new environment. They tend to sniff around and all different kinds of smells, people or other animals they can smell. So it's pretty hard. But I think it's important to have him with us today so I can tell you the story. And it's, I hope it's relevant for our own life too. And he can do more than that, like load it up when you want to invite him to into your car, or you can ask him to go to his kennel, right? You just say kennel and he's going there. And if you want him to go out to pee or pool, you can give his or other commands and he gets it. And so it's pretty cool. And we got him at about 8 weeks old. So now we had him for about 6 weeks, but it's already a long time. And if you had dogs before, a lot of times before the 1 year old, that's the trouble time. They can cause a lot of trouble. They can destroy your house, basically. But these are dogs are different, but I can tell you a little bit more. But our life with dog is actually started in Charlottesville. Before Russell, we had a service dog. He's a guide dog puppy. We had a service dog puppy. His name is Russell. And it's a Heiser, and we got it from Charlottesville. There is a Charlottesville-based organization called Service Dog of Virginia. I don't know if you heard of them. They train a lot of service dogs. Service dogs include like autism dog, diabetes dog, assistant dog. You might wonder what is a diabetes dog? But it's for type 1 diabetes patients, so they can sniff, they can smell when the person's blood sugar level is abnormal. Okay, they can actually call 911. Well, there's a button they're saying, you know, for them to actually get help. So that's a diabetes dog, an autism dog, assistant dog, etc. So we had Heiser that was right after the pandemic. You know, when the COVID hit and school are all closed, as you can remember, or some of you remember, my daughter, Joanna, she had nothing to do. And that's the time, you know, parents have to think about the stuff. And we first got chicken. We got chicken. We got fish, and in September or October, I think we got Heiser, a service dog puppy. Let me show you some pictures. So this is my daughter, Joanna. At that time, she was 9 years old and holding Heiser, okay? Cute little. A lot of wrinkles on his face, you can see. Then, just a few months later, okay. So, Heiser grew into like a 90-pound Labrador. They eat a lot. And so that's, I think, about 8 months later. It's big, it's heavy. But, you know, his big sister still likes to hold him. It's kind of weightlifting, right? And actually, so this is Heiser. He changed a lot of things in our life, not just the morning, evening routines, but it's kind of changed the relationship with all your neighbors, because before COVID, without a animal, like you basically say hi, that's it, right? But once you have a cute dog, you know, we walk out in our neighborhood to other neighborhoods, you always get people to ask you questions and talk. So it's pretty fun. So we had Heiser for, I don't know, 8 or 9 months for training, socialization, etc. I'm going to explain that a little later. And then we sent Heiser back in the summer of 2021 for advanced training. Basically, Heiser is back to Charlottesville for his advanced training. And sometimes I call that a dog college, okay? Just like UVA, okay? And so he graduated. I mean, he passed all the exams and got, you know, his diploma, you know, that's basically a service dog license, and got a real job. And he's now a mobility assistant dog, which means he helps older dogs with mobility challenges, you know, who are frail or fragile. Because he's strong, I said he's 90 pounds, so he can wear a harness, and it's sturdy. So the older dogs, if they're frail, they have challenge to stand up, you know, on a bench or somewhere, they can hold on the dog to stand up. So that's a mobility assistant. But of course, it's more than mobility assistance. It's also a very good companion, just like that dog. You know, he is just cute, and we're proud of him. So this is in a bookstore. All people just like him, all the little kids, and you can see he's super nice and gentle too. But you know, we're the raiser. You can say I'm biased, but yeah. So I think actually we have lots of things in common with these service animals in many aspects, and I'm going to talk about that, what is in common. So before I talk, I'd like, you know, let's pray, and I will talk more about them and about myself. Heavenly Father, you are the creator of us, of the whole world, including these cute service animals. And I think you created us for a purpose. I think you want us to know the purpose, but also do the purpose. I just pray that today we're going to talk about it and meditate about that. Hopefully, you know, we can meditate more about it when we're back at home, at work. Thank you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm Aaron Yao. I actually used to teach at medical school here at UVA, but we never moved to Charlottesville to live. So we live in Richmond, and Daniel and Anne, we were at the same church in Richmond. So I think I started my job here at UVA in 2015. In a medical school in public health sciences. And I've been to this church for many times. I don't know, maybe over 10 times at different locations. Thank you for having us. And it's also a blessing to us to share our story with you. I knew that today it will be like a crowd like this. It's not going to be like a big room. So I don't have the pressure of like speaking to a large group, but I still had the pressure to speak the things God wants me to speak. So my wife was asking me on the way here, like, why do you have pressure? We know it's going to be a small group. I said, like, I just worry that I speak the wrong things for the group. Yeah, so first of all, this is a picture of Heiser. You know, he's handsome, of course. So if Russell was pet dog, maybe his life it's a little bit easier. Maybe he doesn't need to ask himself a question like this: what on earth am I here for? Or maybe he's not asking the question anyway. It's probably just the person asking the question, right? The raiser, you know, asking this question, what on earth is the dog here for? But if, you know, he could ask a question, then probably the follow-up questions are, why do I need to know? Like, I just eat, I play, I sleep, right? But Russell is a guide dog. Guide dog puppy, if he wants to know why he was placed on this planet, you know, he must begin with the guide dog organization, right? He was born by a purpose and for a purpose. That is to become guiding eyes for the blind. If he wants to find a purpose by himself, I'm sure he'll be puzzled, okay? Because they're going to, he's going to look at other dogs, like, why my parents don't allow me to go to dog park? We don't allow him to go to dog park because the organization said no, because we need to keep them healthy, okay? If he wants to find a purpose by himself, oftentimes if he look around, he'll get puzzled. What do I want to be? What should I do with my dog life? What are my goals, my dog dreams for my future? Focusing on himself probably will never reveal his dog life's purpose. They are a special breed, as you can imagine. Because you see, even at this younger age, they look a little different, right? This organization is based in New York, Guiding Eyes for the Blind. So they have a development center. Basically, they raise little puppy in Patterson, New York. That's a place where the guiding eye dogs, puppies are purpose bred for their excellent health and the temperament needed for their job or for the purpose. Most of them are Labrador retrievers. You can guess, can you buy these guiding dog puppies on the market? They're really good, you know, they're a good puppy. But no, you cannot buy them on the market. Same thing with service dogs. The service dog we have, Heiser, it's also from a breeding network of service animals. And for Heiser, his mom is a service dog. His dad is a guide dog from Florida. Mom from Texas, I think. So it's we actually know the ancestry stuff. You don't need to go on ancestry.com to check. So we have all the information. They have their ID numbers. So that's why they are purpose bred for a reason, for their future job. Then, you know, I kind of think of my life as I grew up. You know, people always say life is a journey. You're always on your way. You know, what do I want to be? Where do I want to get? What should I do with my life? What are my goals, ambitions, my dreams? I have asked these questions since my childhood. I was raised in rural China. My parents, they don't even read or write Chinese. Okay. So from a low-income family, it's so for me, when I was little in elementary school, my goal is to study hard, be the best student in my class, and bring my parents honor, I guess. It's kind of, at your younger age, that's probably the way you show filial piety or respect to parents. And I think I did well. I think by God willing, you know, he probably give me some smartness so I can do well in school. If you have good grades, you get all kinds of awards. You know, it's a piece of paper, basically. And it's a prestigious reward for one class, one cohort. I always get that, one or two, every year. So my parents put it, all the awards on the wall. So basically in our house, it's a poor family, but we got a wall of awards, something like that, or on a wall. So They are very proud of that. And at that stage of life, I thought that that's all my purpose of life, you know, bring my parents some honor and respect. And but then, you know, for my age in rural China, not a lot of people got a lot of education. And I forever grateful my parents invested in our education. So I eventually got into college, and a good college, actually. But the problem with good colleges is in Shanghai. And I'm like, oh, nothing matched to my classmates, my school college friends. You know, they are all from cities and they know a lot of stuff. Once we went to a restaurant and like I have never been to a restaurant order from menu. Okay, I don't know the stuff on the menu, what this means. So this give me a motivation to try to build a life by myself. Like I need to I work part-time in college to make money to buy stuff for myself to win respect from, you know, my college friends. So at that stage of life, it's my purpose is try to win some respect for myself, because I think I've done enough for my parents, okay? I mean, they've got their old son into college and a good college. So I then start to work for myself, a part-time jobs and to make money, etc., etc. And one of the first to get a cell phone, well, I just revealed my age, okay. So that's my like first few years of college, of my purpose. And then at my senior year of college in Shanghai, somehow I started to do internship in a company, and there it's quite interesting. There are many people in that company are Christians, and they invite me to go to small groups. We call it house churches in China. It's basically underground church, illegal according to the government, etc. So I went and love it, I was not struggling about ageism, etc. You know, I'm more kind of the emotional person, like to see if people like each other, they have good relationships. And so the relationship in the small groups really attract me. So I joined a small group, and then I said to the Lord, like, I became a Christian. And then from there, I learned that, you know, our purpose of life is not like what I lived for about 20 years, right? You know, when I was younger, the purpose is really try to bring honor to my parents. And then the first the few years when I was in the 20s, I really want to make money and win respect from others. But the small group leaders, the Bible telling me that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, right? And you probably heard of that too. But and this is a scripture I'd like to read it to you from Colossians. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things have been created through Him and for Him. So I learned that my life, it's not self-centered. It's really, I had to see my life from God's perspective. And but knowing our purpose is one thing, and doing it is another, as you can imagine. You know, I learned it at my younger ages, but I found it's hard. Similarly, with dogs, I mean, we know Russell has a purpose, okay? We know that, that's just knowledge. But as raisers, how can we help him to get there? Because we live in a world with a lot of other things. That's why I put the title here, Everyone's Life is Driven by Something. Do you know what drives a dog? Can you see this picture, right? Tells you, like, I don't know if you have laughed before. I heard at the service dog organization, someone said that if I accidentally spilled the food bag, 30 pound or 50 pound, I believe he can finish that. Okay, so Labradors, they are crazy about food. Just now, when I was sitting here, I saw him actually eat a spider web under the leg of this chair. You know, they eat everything. Mulch, stick, grass, goose poop. Yeah, it's so they're definitely driven by something else, not just food. Okay, they love dogs. So if we have dogs here, other dogs, it would be really hard for him to settle like this. And they like kids. Okay, if they're little kids, you know, they really want to play with little kids, and they love toys, games, etc. So these are, you can say these are temptations, but they also have fears. Okay, I don't know if they ever tried. Most of dogs, they will refuse to take an escalator. Okay, they have other fears, certain ground, sound, etc., etc. But you can train them and you can help them. So to become a guide dog, it's a team sport. The raisers, the dog, and the future trainers, they have to work together to actually understand what is actually driving this dog or all his challenges. And we need to address these challenges one by one. So as the raisers, we have to be super clear about his purpose so we don't treat him as a pet. So we do things differently. We got him at 8 weeks. The first thing we did is name calling. They need to know their name in 1 or 2 days. We need to train them. So give them food. Will you call that? If call him and he is looking at you, give him food and other things. So I just said that don't let them to go to dog parks because there are a lot of germs, virus, etc. Okay. We have a lot of house manners for him to learn. They're not allowed to go on any furniture. So, but if it is pet dog, it's fine. I'm on a sofa, that's fine. Or sleep with the person, that's fine. But not guide dogs. Socialization. It's all intentional. One of the reasons he's here is also for his training. So he's comfortable with a lot of people, not bothering anybody else, because his future person might actually attend a church like this. So he can go with his person to a church. And he can fly on an airplane, and can stay in a hotel, etc. It's all intentional for his future job. Okay. And I don't know if you think he's skinny, but he is skinny for a reason. If they are overweight, it's going to hurt their knees, and eventually it will shorten their life of services, okay, etc. So we only feed them, and we use a cup to feed them. We know how much we feed them at the fixed time, etc. So this is all different. You see, a lot of families, they have a food bowl for their dogs so they can eat, you know, whatever they want, but not with these dogs. So it helps them to eat healthy, you know. Same thing with you guys, you know, better to do that. And exercise. He needs to get enough exercise every day. So it's not, maybe you think, first you think it's hard life. It's not, okay? But we will talk about it. So dogs can be driven by a lot of things. Similarly, our life. I will talk just about myself. I know my purpose is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. But a lot of times it's really hard. And I have little feet and these paths. If you think these paths are God's way or God's path, anytime you deviate, you step out of God's path, that's sin, right? That's basically the definition of sin. If you're on your own way, that's sin. Okay. But a lot of times, I'm not standing or walking on God's path, unfortunately. The times I went astray, a lot of times it's because my life is driven by something else. Okay. I told you I went to a small group house church at my senior year, but I actually left the church for 3 or 4 years. After the Chinese house churches, I went to Middle East, to Dubai, to work. I tried to attend the international church a few times, and I didn't like it, and I just stopped going. And plus, it's super hot. It's like 140 degrees. Like it's, so there are many reasons stopping. And the most the distraction or the stuff was driving me is really, I want to make more money. I want my time to focus on my own life, and I want to make friends there and do more business. I worked for a consulting firm. We work with the local Dubai customs and the international companies, etc. After Dubai, I came to Shanghai. I was still working on my own jobs, and very tirelessly on my job. And I tried to go to another small group. I went only twice, probably. Until I came to the U.S. But the reason I came to U.S., well, I came here for my PhD, but it's not the real reason. Daniel, do you know that? you know, I came here to do my own business, actually. I was thinking I need a long-term visa to stay here. And if you're getting a visitor visa, it's a few months. You know, if I get a student visa, I can stay there years. So that's why I applied into PhD programs. My English was not that good. I have some misunderstandings about university names. I saw Penn State is University of Pennsylvania. Do you think so? You know, it reads the same if you translate back to Chinese, right? So I apply into Penn State. I thought I'm going to Philadelphia, a big city, so I can find clients. But God is very interesting. So I end up in middle of nowhere, if you can, right? So, but I still try really hard. I ride a bus to New York City, 4 hours to meet my clients on Fifth Avenue, okay? Ladies, you know the luxury brands. Chanel was my client. So I went to meet them and some lawyers, etc. So you can see, I was attracted to do all kind of things. There are other things. There are fear, there are guilt and anger, a lot of things. I mean, we all have different circumstances. For me, I think I really like the need for approval, other people's approval or respect. the pastor Rick Warren wrote something like that. People allow expectations of parents, spouse, or children, or teachers, or friends, or managers to control their lives. Many of us are driven by peer pressure, always worried about what others might think. Unfortunately, those who follow the crowd usually get lost in it. I don't know all the keys to success, but one key to failure is to try to please everyone. You know, being controlled by the others is a guaranteed way to miss God's purpose for your life. Okay. So I think that's a good summary. I think for what I've been struggling with for many, many years since I graduated from college until probably recent years, you know, I think still my life is driven or lots of distractions. I can say that. But the First John here talks about for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. I don't have time to expand this. I see many parable stories in the Bible, Old Testament or New Testament, basically summarized in these three categories: the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, and pride of life, including Jesus. So before he started his ministry, all his temptations and challenges, you can put in these categories too. But I'm not going to expand that. But just to let you know, beware. I mean, it's not hard to know our purpose as if you've been in the church for some time, but you need to be aware of the distractions and all these three types of things you might have in the world or in your life. And how can we actually address that or you know, conquer the challenges, okay? If we read our Bible, I think there are a lot of verses like this. You know, come back to me, I will do something. I will heal you, I will come back to you, etc., etc. You know, Heavenly Father, our God, promised us if we come back to Him, and He will do something, okay? In our training with Guidos, we actually do exactly the same thing. You know, as long as He comes back to you, means He engages with you, you know, looking at you or just turn around and look at you, that's an engagement. We're going to give Him reward. That's how you train guide dogs. I don't know if you have seen that. My wife, if, you know, he is at the down position, settled, we're going to feed him, give him reward, okay? All other things he's doing right, we're going to give him reward. Normally, we don't punish dogs, okay? You can say harsh words to remind him, but a lot of times we use rewards as long as he comes back to you. He look at you, he engage with you, you do that. You use that for almost all command trainings. You train him to load it up in the car, to settle, to calm, to leave the some other thing you don't want him to eat, you know, goose poop. It's all used the same way, come back to me and I will reward you. I think our God, you know, is doing a lot of things like that in many ways. God works in me. It's just like I work with my dog, okay? I said that I think I left church for many years. But God has mercy. God has patience. His love is calling me back. I told you I came to U.S. for business, but somehow first Sunday, we got to Pennsylvania, to middle of nowhere. The first Sunday, we heard there is a church at Penn State. And there someone can give us a ride. We decide to go. And then we never left the church after that. And it's not how, like, I'm not saying like we're doing great. Oh, we went back to church, we stayed. It's really God showed us a lot of His mercy and love in the church. That's why we didn't leave. It's really God. It's not us. And I can give you a lot of examples. I was in a graduate student small group. We get lots of help. I know now I don't know how we help graduate students here, but when we got to Penn, we don't have cars, but we need to buy grocery. It will be guaranteed on a Thursday night, there's a brother who will drive us to grocery every Thursday. Every Sunday, there's someone going to take us to church. And every Wednesday, probably the pastor is taking me to the men's Bible study. So that's how God showed me. I came back and He showed me a lot of mercy and love. And we all know the story Jesus told in the Bible about His son went, take all the belongings and went bankrupt and came back, right? It was like raising pigs and came back, how the father treated. And our God is doing the same thing. And actually, to address our challenges in life, like lust of eyes, lust of flesh, and our pride, I think I use three icons. I don't know if you can get it, but I think it's really His people means us, His church, His words means Bible, and His Spirit or guide us through the challenges, the difficult times. I think my own story, like first I came back to church, is really the people helping me, the church helped me stay. And later, I think the Bible really helped me. You know, when I was in China, I think I don't know a whole lot of the Bible teachings. I just like the relationship in China. But later, the scripture really taught me a lot first year in Penn State. You know what? And later, God, Holy Spirit told me to do something. I told you, like, I came to do business, okay? I actually got some business the first year. At the end of the first year, we decided to close the business, okay? To rely only on the assistantship or scholarship for my PhD program. So our income went, okay? We probably only have $1,000 a month to live on for the scholarship. But it is the Holy Spirit is telling me, like, you gotta to stop doing those things. You cannot have two gods, okay, doing this thing. And you're really cheating on your professors, basically. And it's a hard decision, but the Holy Spirit worked, and the teaching in the Bible and also His church is teaching us to stop. My small group leader actually came to me like, it's wrong to do that. It is harsh. But I'm glad that somebody said that. Okay, a lot of times we try to be friendly, but then we don't say things that are important from God's perspective. And He said that. He said that. It worked with other things, and then we stopped the business, and then I finally actually become a real PhD student, got my degree, and came to Richmond, and came to UVA. So, how God, it's amazing. In John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. I have other testimonies, but to save some time, I'm going to move on. There are lots of benefits of knowing and doing our purpose, right? This is a picture we took at the Richmond International Airport. Okay, for dogs, knowing and doing their purpose have many benefits too. Okay, it actually simplifies their lives. The food stuff, you know, they will actually get their food two times or three times a day, and it's actually prescribed food, so it's not any kind of food. Their life are more focused, and dog, the raiser, they work together, work hard to learn many things. And their goals is to have good health and good manners, probably good mood, all, you know, for most of time too. And they need to have patience, they need courage, do a lot bunch of socialization and learn all the commands. So they live a simple and focused life. Basically after a few months, they know whose approval is the most important. Is somebody's else's praise, approval, or his raiser or his person, okay? So, because he get reward from his raiser or his person. Most important, we're talk about self-centered, what's it's going to bring to the dog. But the real benefit of knowing and doing his purpose is actually kind of bring honor, glory to the trainer, okay? Imagine this this picture in your mind. We, the trainers, are the superstars on the runway, you know. Can any other dog go into your airport like this? And you can imagine all the passengers in the airplane, what they're doing. They're probably waving to us, right? This is the thing, you know, we're talking about. This is the glory we're going to, if we know and do our purpose, we're going to bring the glory to our God, like the dogs bring to the raisers. We all know this scripture probably, and I use this little icon about how we can have a goal or one purpose to serve the Lord and glorify the Lord. Knowing my purpose in the recent years really simplify my life. Of course, I still have lots of failures and challenges, but I'm focused on God's approval. I can still have, you know, failures according to man's eyes. I can tell you when I graduated and came to Richmond, I started the VCU Campus Fellowship with Pastor Daniel and some other co-workers. There are ups and downs, okay? Actually, the first year, we had lots of people. And the second year, because of some changes, we moved it to Thursday night in a basement room in the cathedral, okay? And there are a few weeks, there's just me. Only one person in that room, okay? Of course, it's hard. I went, I prayed, I left, okay? But later on, I consider that probably high time in my spiritual life, because you have this approval from God that you don't really consider the numbers, okay? So what really happened is not what you see, but what God sees, okay? My heart for his kingdom. And recent years, we moved back to China in 2018, summer of 2018. We moved to China to start a healthcare ministry. I think that Scott wanted me to do. There are lots of testimonies. I don't have time for that, but I can tell you, after COVID hit, I stayed in the U.S. We were not able to go back because a lot of the fear. I consider that a failure of God's test. Like, God test me, I failed, I didn't go back. I've been thinking about that for many months. I think I should have went back in February of 2020 so we can do more in China. I always thought that's a failure. And not just that, we all also have lots of financial pressures because I basically quit my UVA job to go back. So our income again, to the very low level, basically, you know, at the living cost level. And then we came back and we didn't go back to China, and then COVID, blah, blah, blah. I worried that I'm not able to pay my mortgage. But God is very interesting. And when COVID started, actually, there a lot of people start to find me. Companies and nonprofits, they want me to help them to do healthcare research and analytics. That's my job, I mean, at UVA, you know. I did a lot of teaching of that, you know. And after COVID, because I also have students in China, we started to work for these companies and nonprofits. And then, guess what? You know, 2 years later, our income is much more than before, much more than I made at UVA, actually. So, but it's not me doing it. I didn't find any clients, okay? Oh, I didn't say that. I didn't find my VCU job either. Actually, the job found me. I don't have time for that. But I try to have a simplified, focused life to do what God wants me to do. And then, just surprisingly, even I have little faith, but God provided, God guided, God has mercy for every step I'm doing. I think with this simplified, focused life, it defines what I do, what you do, and your purpose will become the standard to evaluate your life, your activities, your programs, right? Your work. You just simply ask if this thing, like today, I'm here, the stuff I'm doing, does it fulfill one of God's purpose for my life? Okay? I have a simplified life. I have, like I said, you know, a lot of people do business, but sales and marketing is the most difficult part. But I don't do sales and marketing. Well, I should say that actually early this year, I tried to do that. 3 months or 4 months is zero client. Okay. It didn't work. God helped me. I didn't do much of sales and marketing. So I have a simplified and focused life. So I still have lots of time to do the ministry God wants me to do. We serve about 200 homebound patients now in China. We also train close to 1,000 healthcare providers, doctors and nurses, etc. And we have educational material on many social media platforms. We're building our learning management system, etc. But it's all about bring salvation to patients and bring glory to God and to our Heavenly Father. So here, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to skip the last testimony. It's not mine. But if we have time, I can talk about it next time. I just want to pray for everybody here that we all can live a simple and focused life with a purpose to glorify God. Amen. You know where you can do, how you can do the purpose. Or church, or Bible, or Holy Spirit, they're going to be your helper. Okay. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for creating me. And thank you, Jesus, for saving me on the cross. And thank you, Holy Spirit, you help me every day. So I know my sins. And a lot of times, you give me directions too. And God, I pray that you help me to live a focused, a simple life with this only purpose to glorify your name. I still have struggles to enjoy you forever every day because I see a lot of things in the world are still as a pleasure. Maybe same thing happened to the crowd, to our brothers and sisters here. I pray you have mercy with us and help us every day. Thank you, Lord. I just pray and thank, and in Jesus' name, amen.